right now, and we'll just be like a few minutes late. And you can see the eagle kind of sitting on my head. I know it won't make sense to you unless you see it on the video. So head on over to BitChute or Rumble and check out this episode of the Discerning Observer podcast. And you will see the eagle kind of sitting on my head. I wonder if I could put him right there. Nope, I get out of the frame. Okay, but what I was getting to is I also post the audio on Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is a place that hosts podcasts, and it's a place where you can put your podcast, and it'll disperse it to other podcast providers like Spotify and iHeartRadio and something FM, Talk FM. And there's like 16 to 20 other podcasting servers that if you put your podcast up on Buzzsprout, it goes out to all these other servers. Well, last week, you know, obviously I'm not the most popular podcast ever. I don't intend to be. Like I say, I do this for fun and it keeps me out of trouble at least 2 days a week, sort of, most of the time. But, like this week, I got my weekly report, and there was 128 downloads last week. And I was thinking to myself, what did I do last week that all of a sudden there's 128 downloads? And, of course, some of my family members were like, oh, the FBI is probably looking into you, which is probably true. It may be true. I don't know. But I mean, that's good news. You know, I mean, there's usually I get a few 10, 20, 30 podcasts, maybe 60 podcast downloads, but 1 week, 128. And you know, sometimes these things, you know, you start picking up momentum and, you know, the word gets out and people start listening. I mean, people, I think, want to be entertained a little bit. They want to hear different takes. They want to hear maybe, if I have some expertise in some area, like today, I'm going to cover a little bit of information about fluoride and about how you can prevent fluoride from screwing you up, because it does. It's a horrible freaking poison that we use in dentistry. I shouldn't go that far. Probably the dental board will come and knock on my door too and take my license. And I really don't care. I'm getting to the point where I don't care. You know, it's kind of funny. If you think about it, I'll talk about this fluoride thing in a few minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes, I'll get to it. But if you think about it, my entire dental career, I have opposed fluoride just on the basis of why force something on anybody. Like, you know, it's kind of like birth control. What if they put birth control in the water? What if they, I mean, they could do that. I mean, they could do that. They could literally say, yeah, everybody's done having kids. We're going to cut off the growth of the population now. I'm surprised that countries haven't done it. Well, and of course, I don't know if countries have done it. They, of course, wouldn't be telling anybody. Kind of like putting that stuff in the chicken feed to get your chickens to quit laying eggs or to quit laying fertile eggs. You could then hatch and make your own meat. Nobody would do that, right? No, of course not. But yeah, I was really not opposed to fluoride so much just because of the fact that it's really not that good at doing what they claim it does. But based on the fact that you should have the choice what goes in your body. And I've always been that way as a dentist. Like, I've never gotten on the bandwagon. Even when I was in positions where I was told that this is something we do in this particular company or setting, when I was in the public health service, you know, working on, the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservation, you know, it's a big deal. Like, we got to get all these kids on fluoride and, you know, we're in charge of the water system here on the reservation. And we have to make sure the fluoride is going in the water. Like, the dental department was responsible for putting fluoride in the water on the reservation. And I was just like, no, I'm sorry, but I'm not putting what I consider a poison in the water on a reservation. And you'll see, like, after 4 years, God, and I cannot believe it's been that long, but I'm going to be completely honest here. I started dental school in 1984, which means next year, 2024, will be 40 years since I started doing dentistry. So that's a long time, and it's a long time to... But it kind of goes back to my personal beliefs in my entire life. It's like, you can't force somebody to take something, or you can't force medicate people. And of course, we do in many different settings force medicate some people. But I just, you know, when I was in dental school and they talked about, and I'm going to get a little bit more scientific here, but they were talking about the bond between fluoride and enamel is very weak, so fluoride really doesn't stay attached to enamel very well. Well, okay, if you take that along with, you know, it doesn't really do adults that much good because topical application of fluoride really doesn't stick around very long. And, you know, the only benefit, if any, you see, and then you have to kind of decide whether that benefit outweighs the risk, is when you give it to mothers who are prenatal or children who have been born and are just developing their little tooth buds, because the fluoride gets systemically incorporated in enamel, and it is a little more effective. But, you know, I mean, I tell people all the time, people come in to see me, they're in pain. They come in to see me and they have 20 cavities and they hate the dentist because they have to get shots. And, you know, it's kind of miserable to have to come back to the dentist time after time after time to get 20 different teeth filled because you didn't take care of your teeth. And that does kind of suck. But it's so damn simple to prevent, like just brush and floss 4 minutes a day, 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, afternoon, get the bugs off of your teeth, get the sugar off of your teeth, you know, get the crap off of your teeth and they won't decay. It's that simple. Truly, it is that simple. So you don't need fluoride. You need to actually do the thing. So even if you have massive quantities of fluoride in your teeth, they will still decay if you just let sugar and bacteria sit on them. So, 40 years. And, I've been sticking to my guns for 40 years. So some of the things that have developed more recently in my life about how I feel about, like, COVID vaccines being forced on people and, mask wearing and all the crap that we've gone through in the last 3 years. It started a long time ago, and I've been that way for a long time, and I can look back on my at least professional career and be thankful that I didn't talk people into using fluoride, because I mean, what I have to tell you today, share with you today, it's kind of crazy. What's happening in the news today, though? Let's look. There was a apparent assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin. I don't believe it for a second. Not 1 second. I do not believe anybody tried to take Putin out with a drone. I'm sorry. And the video, I don't care. I don't believe the video. I didn't see it happen myself. And I can tell you today, with AI being the way it is and all the technology we have, they could literally have Vladimir Putin standing in my driveway and hit him with a drone strike, and I wouldn't believe it, because I'd believe that whole thing was some kind of imagery that we're not 100% aware of yet, and it's not real. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think that we're going to face some kind of threat, either extraterrestrial or terrestrial, that's just going to be totally made up. And why wouldn't Putin make this up? I mean, they have the technology to pull it off and say that Ukraine tried to take him out. I mean, everybody has this technology, not everybody, but if you want this technology to make something up and make people believe it, well, now you have it. Even the guy from Google who started the whole AI, he's called the godfather of AI. And even he is saying now that AI has gone way too far and it's nothing compared to what's going to happen as AI teaches itself and refines itself, which that's what it was designed to do, was to make its own self better. I mean, here we're getting into this point where we're no longer going to have control over what AI is doing. But I was kind of thinking about this, not that I would miss any of these late night talk show hosts, like I can't even name them because I never watch them. I see them in the news occasionally, and I hear they're all whining and complaining now because they can't be on the air. Actually, that's not true. I hear they're all strongly supporting the strike in Hollywood for the writers and the Writers Guild and whatever. And I was thinking, well, I mean, you could just have AI do it. You could have AI write your monologue and write your jokes. And AI, you don't need to pay them. They're not part of a union. You could just have AI do it, and then, I mean, is AI, like, breaking the picket line? You know, are they violating these labor laws, union labor laws? I don't know. Don't think so. I mean, so just imagine this. So the future of podcasting, let's say, could be that you just, you know, maybe instead of doing my show notes, I just bang in something I want to talk about and let AI write the script. The only thing is, I don't trust AI enough to even log into it or go play with it, because I don't know what it would do with the information that, you know, I might have on my own system. I got some kind of scam email today. Well, I guess we'll all find out in a couple of days if it's a scam or not. This scam looked like it was from McAfee, and I'm going to tell you why I know this was a scam. It says, "We found your private information on the dark web, but we're here to protect you and back you up. You know, we've got your back. Don't worry about it. We've discovered it and we've clamped down on it." Well, here's the problem. I don't subscribe to McAfee. I never have subscribed. Well, I can't say never. Probably way back in the late 90s, I might have gotten some kind of, you know, virus protection before I really became the hacker that I was and just secured my information and my stuff myself. So my information is probably not on the dark web. I can guarantee you that McAfee didn't find my information on the dark web. And why would they have come out to contact me to let me know they found it and that they've got my back and they're protecting me when I don't pay for their service? I don't have McAfee on my computer. I'm running a straight up Linux system. Oh my God, I am so happy with Linux. I'm not kidding. I saw a story today. It said Windows 10 no longer being supported, and here's the dates when they'll quit providing support. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there you go, Windows 10 down. You know, luckily, you better have. If you don't have Windows 11, you better make sure you've got it. If you're a Windows user, I'm not. I think about it occasionally, man, because that one game I like to play is on the internet. And they always, you know, it's not written for Linux. So whenever they do something and screw up the launch platform, well, you got to wait for them to fix it before you can play again. That's okay. I can live without the game. Hell, I didn't play it for like 6 months or something. I can't even tell you how long it's been since I played it before I got back on. And but if I had a Windows machine, I could just pop on the Windows machine and boom, I'm on. But here's the problem. I'm not dual booting this system because I love this system too much. And it's secure. I don't have to worry about anything. I get updates. I have an update right now. Here, let's see what it is. You won't see this on the screen, but distro info data, information about the distribution's releases. Okay, so I have an update that's free. That this is a completely community-supported software, free open-source software that is constantly updated. It runs so smooth, looks so beautiful. I don't have to worry about hacking attempts and crap like that because I have some skills with fending that off and because Linux just is better at protecting you. So that's one reason. The other reason, then, you know, I'd have to have another computer, which means I either have to build one or buy one and set it up separate because I don't want them to be talking to each other on the same network or whatever. Yeah, it's just too much hassle. Now, other people in my family, in my household, have Windows computers. Yeah, I get the whole thing. We're all on the same network. I keep them out of this. I have the master control to this right here. Anyway, God, how did I get off on that? Gee, many Christmas. Because of AI. Yeah. So, you know, podcasters could just, you know, and these writers in Hollywood, we could all just let AI do it. It's not going to cost us anything. I mean, really, you know. I'm sure AI is going to cost somebody something sometime. It's like kind of like email or books. Do you guys ever understand this? Like, I can't understand why does it cost so much to download a book? Like, you pay a higher price for a book in paperback, probably to save the climate or whatever. But if you download it, which is it's just a file, and they're not even that big, especially if it's not an audio file, if it's literally text, I mean, how much does it cost to transfer that file from wherever it is to my computer so I could read it? And yeah, I get it that the artist, the creator, the writers should be compensated for what they do. 100%. I agree. I just don't understand why there's not like a much lower price for getting that information on my computer. Now, if I write a bestseller, which can't possibly happen because I don't write, I'll be thinking about things differently, right? I'd be like, hey, I want a maximum amount of money for that book. I don't know. I probably wouldn't care one way or the other. That's kind of a fun thing about getting to a certain point in your life. You just don't care. You GNF. You just GNF all day long. I'll tell you guys a little something different. Man, I'm straying off of all the topics today. But I had agreed to go back to work for 4 hours on Fridays. And I did it one day, and I came in on Monday, and I go, nope, I said, I'm not doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. Nope, I don't want to do it. And I'll tell you guys why. It had nothing to do with the actual work. In fact, I kind of feel sorry for patients today, and I still tell patients every day, so listen to this, it's very important. 20% of dentists are going to retire in the next couple years. That includes me. 20% of dentists are going to retire in the next couple years, and we are not cranking dentists out of dental schools like, you know, there's plenty of jobs available, and people, have, for whatever reason, they're not really going into dentistry, which is crazy, because dentistry is one of the things that, you know, so far, AI hasn't figured out how to do, robots haven't figured out how to do. They will, I'm sure they will. But right now, it's one of those fields where you actually lay your hands on and fix stuff. I like fixing stuff, and I like taking stuff out. It's kind of my two things. It's like, oh, I can take your teeth out, no problem. Yeah, I'll do it fast and efficient. I'll be done before you know it. And I like fixing things. I like the artistry of putting a nice looking tooth in there where you had a big old giant cavity. I like doing root canals. I like doing all that stuff. And actually, you get to hands-on stuff. I don't know why people aren't going into dentistry. Well, one idea is, like, dental school is stupid expensive, and you come out so deeply in debt that you may not make that money back in your lifetime, especially the way dentistry is right now. But, I mean, it's going to change. It's kind of cyclical, like anything else, you know. There's going to be a big shortage of dentists, and then, you know, the value of dentists is going to go way up again, and people are going to make a ton of money in dentistry. But anyway, why did I go off on that story? I have no idea. Oh, because I'm not doing Fridays. I said, this is what they said. Well, how about, you know, one Friday a month? And I was like, eh, not really interested in it. But let's do this. On the week of the Friday you want me to work, let's take the highest priority patients, people who've had infections, who are on antibiotics, who we need to see while the infection isn't present. Let's get those people in and get them seen and treated. And I said, I'll do that once a month. And I'm going to regret that too. I could do once a month. But I'll tell you, the last Friday I did it for the first time. And I got off at 12. I got home by 12:15, 12:20, something like that. And I was like, but when Sunday rolled around, I was like, yeah, that weekend was too short. It was just too short. I didn't like it. I want that playtime. It's at this point in my life, it is a quality of life thing for me. I spend 3 days working. I spend 4 days at home. That's a good schedule. Really good schedule. Next year, probably be 2 days at work, 5 days at home, if I live that long. We'll see. Let's get back to our notes here. We don't have a died suddenly entry this week, although I did see a few. I just skipped over them. I did want to show you this. So last week, I talked about the two categories of trans men. Men who are transgender, so they pretend to be women. And I said there were really two types, men who want to beat up on women, and then the other pervert category. But look at this, trans student born male who allegedly showed his genitals in high school girls' locker room absolutely towers over girl in lunchtime fight. Look at this guy. So here is the young lady, and here is the young trans. Seriously? So what did I say? I said two types of trans males. The ones who want to beat the hell out of women in sports, in public, in whatever. And in the perverts. This one just happens to be both. A pervert and just wants to beat up women. And I mean, look, like, so here's, you know, I always go back to this. 50 years ago, that guy would have had his ass kicked before the end of the day. And he might not have come back to school for a couple days. But when he came back, there'd be a whole different story. And it wouldn't be with a gun to shoot everybody or kill everybody. Because back then, hell, a lot of us had guns in our trucks. Well, I'm probably not you guys, but, you know, in the redneck parts of the world, out in the country and, you know, back in the day, yeah, you had your hunting rifle in the truck ready to go, or even your shooting rifle just to go target practice after work. It wasn't unusual, you know, for there to be a ton of guns in the parking lot, in your cars. Yes, in high school, 16, 17, 18 years old, guns in the cars. No big deal. It wasn't a big deal. And we didn't have as many school shootings then either. Like, nobody was afraid of guns in the parking lot. you know, guns at school. Okay, so let's move on to the next. The UN seeks vast new powers for global emergencies. And, you know, of course, like our political leaders, probably all over the world, I'm guessing, except for Putin and China. So Russia and China. They're probably not on board with this at all. And of course it is the UN, so only those member nations, you know, God, who buy into this stuff. But here's what I want to tell you about this. My opinion only, really, but this is what I think is important, is the reason that all of our governments want to get on board with something like this is because this affects you and me, not them. Like, they're not going to be a part of the whole, you know, new powers for global emergencies, because their elected officials are just going to, like, bow out like they're not supposed to do, you know, pass no laws that don't affect you. They affect us all the same. That's not true, and it hasn't been for decades. Especially in the United States, we've had politicians who pass laws all the time, but the laws don't affect them. I mean, look at their health care. They pass laws to make and give themselves the greatest health care in the world, while the rest of us get Obamacare, which is horrible. And I mean, I ask people all the time. I have people. One of my favorite things to do is, you know, have some of the patients I have come in. I mean, we're kind of all in the same boat in a way. I mean, I made a good decision when I was much younger to be, you know, to be in the military and do a full career and get a retirement that included benefits the rest of my life. Well, I have those benefits, which is good, really good in some ways, but really not the whole Medicaid thing, Medicare, whatever it's called, is stupid. Like, you have to do that no matter if you have benefits from the veterans or not. After you're 65. So that was a good move on my part. But everybody else, you know, they come in. I have people come in and complain about how long it is to be seen for one thing or another, or how come some service isn't covered. And I just tell them, I just look at them and go, yeah. I go, well, I thought Obamacare was supposed to take care of that. And I don't make any argument one way or the other. I just go, oh, yeah, I thought Obamacare was supposed to take care of that. Remember? Yeah, universal health care for everybody. Everybody. All the illegals that come in the country, everybody who's in the country, black, white, red, yellow, male, female, transgender, whatever, you get health care. And everything is covered, right? That's what they said. Remember, Pelosi said, we have to pass this law. We have to pass this bill so we know what's in it. Do you remember that Christmas Eve? They passed that bill. Oh, they gave us such a great Christmas present. It was fantastic, wasn't it? You look at the people who don't get care for critical things. Right now, I have an example right now. Oh, my God, the light on my face is horrible. I have an example right now going on in my vicinity, my circle of people. And it's hard to get, I mean, what I consider could be a very serious cancer possibility. I'm 99% sure. And it's just difficult getting that person in for treatment, or even getting that person in for diagnosis. In fact, you know, it was kind of sad. I had my shoulder scan done. If you listen to previous podcasts, you know what I'm talking about. I had my shoulder scan done before this person had a scan done, because somebody had seen something on an x-ray of his lungs and they wanted him to have a scan. That was before my whole shoulder thing. And then I went in, saw the doc, got my scan done, got the results done. And before he even got in for a determination to, well, before he got in for a scan, and then the scan showed these spots all over the place. And then, you know, they're like, hey, we gotta look at, we gotta go do a biopsy and see what this is. And he's still waiting. I mean, that's a hell of a lot more critical than my stupid shoulder, I think. I don't think my shoulder is cancerous, is what I'm saying. You know, so, yeah, well, I mean, that's universal health care. That is universal health care. So I'm in some ways not in that exact same system. And yeah, I think there is some kind of priorities given to people with good insurance or whatever. Definitely, if you're paying cash and you have a ton of cash and you just walk in and go, hey, I'm paying cash, I'd like to be seen. Oh, you can find somebody who will see you today. 100%. I mean, not everybody will, but I can tell you there's somebody out there who's waiting to take your money. So you can get seen. And if you have unlimited funds, you'll find treatment today. 100% guaranteed you'll find treatment today. What's funny is some people think I'm the same way. Like, if they offer me enough money, I'll see them, and I won't. because I know better. I'll just leave it at that. All right. What's next? So I said it's time to go to war with these power-hungry a-holes. The United Nations is seeking vast new powers and stronger global governance tools to deal with international emergencies such as pandemics and economic crises, a new UN policy brief has revealed. And the Biden administration appears to support the proposal. Of course they do. Oh, I got to show you this next thing. Okay, so unfortunately, some of you are not going to see this. But if you go to the video on BitChute or Rumble, you're going to get to see this. Because I wanted to see, I read this, so I'll just tell you, sometimes I read a headline and I think, well, that's weird. Why did they write that headline like that? So I'm going to read, for those of you who can't see this, I'm going to read the headline. And then I'm going to scroll down on this same article till you see what I found in this article. Okay, so here's the title. No, Washington did not just pass a law allowing the state to kidnap and transgenderify children. The goal is to reunite families. Okay. You have to see this for yourself. The title is, No, Washington did not just pass a law allowing the state to kidnap and transgenderify children. So what are you thinking, of course? Like, okay, like there was some kind of law passed. It sounds like it was a little controversial that maybe somebody said, well, this is just a way for the state to be able to kidnap your children and transgenderify them. But this says, no, that is not the case. Okay, so now I'm going to, now let me see, I have to scroll this kind of slowly so you can follow right along, and I have to be able to see where I'm scrolling, so I got to move that. Okay, so, okay, now listen, so right here, oh, no, nope, not there. I got to keep going. I will find it. I have it in my notes. I'd like to read it to you, but I want you to see this for yourself. Even though it's really small print on the screen, I'm sure that's not going to make any difference. I mean, you won't be able to see it, but you could look up this article yourself. God dang it. Okay. I'm just going to read it for you. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Okay, yes, here it is. So here's the two paragraphs I want to read to you. The Washington law is clear. Licensed homeless shelters or programs that accept children must inform the parents and hometown police department of the child's mental and physical state, where they are, and how they got there. Okay, that's one paragraph. Get ready for the next one. They must relay that information within 24 to 72 hours, listen closely, unless there is evidence of abuse, the child is seeking an abortion, or the child is pursuing gender-affirming care. Shelters must also repeatedly check every 8 hours a Washington State Patrol database for missing children and immediately report any child in their care that appears there. The same provision for abused children has been on the books for years. The protections for abortion and gender care are new. So what did it say? Unless they must report that information, unless the child is seeking gender-affirming care or an abortion. Then they don't have to say anything. Then they can put that kid in a foster care home. Screw you. You don't have any rights. This is Washington State, just north of us. Oregon will do the same. Or they have done pretty much the same. Yeah, parents don't have any rights. This is what happens when you have a political party who has super majorities in the House, in the Senate, in every single aspect of politics. And in Oregon, Oregon is absolutely 100% screwed. In fact, I was listening to this yesterday. Oregon was wanting to pass. Well, Oregon did pass a stupid gun law, and I talked about that a little bit before. Maybe I didn't. Did I talk about it on the Homestead show? Maybe not. But here's my thought on the whole gun. See, Oregon passes gun laws. Washington passed gun laws that are just ridiculous gun laws. But I think that the reason they do it is because they want to eventually just bring all of the supporters of gun rights to their knees financially, because the state and the federal government has endless amounts of money, and the NRA and all these organizations, they only have the money that they get from donors, and that's not an endless supply. So eventually, you know, they're hoping that the NRA and all the other organizations that support the Second Amendment will run out of money. They just keep passing laws, and then they have to be sued, and everybody has to pay money, and it has to go up through the Supreme Court. Supreme Court shoots it down. The government has just spent your tax dollars, you know, fighting this. But the independent organizations, they've spent, you know, money that people donate to keep them going. Never-ending saga. Well, anyway, so Oregon is trying to pass laws similar to this, where they can, you know, they can mutilate your children's genitals without your permission. They'll give, and they actually said on the floor when they were discussing this, that somebody said, "Well, are you saying that a 10-year-old could seek an abortion, and the parents wouldn't have to be notified?" And everybody was horrified that somebody would ask that question. But the answer was yes. Yes, a 10-year-old, if they were seeking an abortion, they would be given protection and foster care, whatever the state decides to do with them, get the abortion, and then, you know, turn back to the parents, I guess, at some point, or not. Or not. I mean, you saw what this said. It said if they claim that they're being abused, if they're seeking an abortion, or if they're seeking transgender treatment. Gender-affirming care. Yeah. I'm pausing a minute because I just had this, like, horrible thought. You know, so the left and the progressives always talk about how hateful it is if you stand against genital mutilation. And I think to myself, oh, I know. I was reading an article, and I don't think I put it in my notes. Can I check real quick? Let me just see. Where are my notes here? I'll just tell you basically what this article said. Oh, yeah, because I got to get to the fluoride thing, too. Because I promised I would, so I will. Armed IRS agents. China's actually... So check this out. China is actually... China's actually making babies so they can take their organs and give them to people. That's awesome. Nope. I didn't write. So there was an article I read earlier about how the, I forget the name of the, there's a book that has all these diagnoses in it. And actually, so gender dysphoria has been a diagnosis for decades and decades and decades, and it's a mental health disorder. And then, you know, people will look at people on the right, conservatives who don't think children should be mutilated, and say, you're hateful and you're not allowing this mentally ill person to carry out mutilation of their body. And I just think to myself, you know, really the hateful part, and I don't know why we have to get into this, you know, who's more hateful, but it's just like irresponsible to allow somebody to do that kind of harm to themselves, knowing that they're mentally ill. You know, your fantasy is not my reality, I always go back to. But somehow we got to this point where, you know, we're just allowing people to do it. Remember I was talking about podcasters earlier? Well, it turns out The Beast, who is one of the most successful YouTube channels in the entire world, and he has been for a long time, and he's done a lot of good work. Apparently, like, his sidekick is going through this gender transition, and let's see what happens, man. I mean, he caters to the younger people, kids mostly, children, young adults, and younger adults, legal age adults. But let's see what happens. They will probably be much more accepting of the idea, and it's kind of sad because you'll see somebody with a mental illness mutilate themselves. And then if they continue to be successful, I guess you'll see in the long run what happens to that person and how happy or dissatisfied they are with their lives. Okay, so let's get to the fluoride thing. Now, I talked about this a little bit before. So I just put in my notes another reason I don't recommend this poison, and that is, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Oh, I thought my link wasn't going to work. Just always got to hope porn doesn't show up. Okay. Report linking fluoride to lower IQ in children made public after CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and HHS tried to block it. By the way, did you happen to notice this? We have 7 minutes. I think we're fine. So the CDC had a meeting, a big giant meeting, and supposedly it spawned a COVID outbreak. And as soon as I saw that, because I used to be in the public health service, I know how they do stuff. This, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is probably what happened. The CDC had this meeting, brought in people from all over the country who were in the public health service, who do that for a living, as I did. They brought them all together to have a big meeting, a big conference, 3 or 4 days. They're having little parties and dinner dances, and the surgeon generals are coming down, and, you know, they're talking about all the new stuff that they got going on and all the new threats. And somebody, and they probably had a table there like, hey, take a COVID test. We're just doing a survey, right? And then, of course, they bring back all these stupid positives and go, oh, my God, we had a COVID outbreak. And probably the way the public health service is now, a bunch of those members were like, oh, yeah, I don't feel so good. And after the meeting, you know, I got a fever and I was out for a week or two or three or whatever. And, yeah, it's totally fake. It's not real at all. I mean, it's real in the fact that, you know, somebody said there was an outbreak, but there was never an outbreak. I can almost guarantee you. They just did tests on everybody because they were all gathered together. And of course, because the tests are so crappy and can't be relied upon to give you a positive or a negative, and a bunch came back positive, they're like, oh my God, we had a COVID outbreak here, you know, at the CDC. I saw that today. It was crazy. But what was I talking about? Fluoride. All right. So, report linking fluoride to lower IQ in children made public after the Center for Disease Control and Health and Human Services tried to block that. Why would they try and block this information from the public? Why? Because they've been saying for 60, 70, 80 years, you've got to do fluoride. Like, it's child abuse if you don't give your child fluoride. It's child abuse if we don't put fluoride in your water. You know, it's just so terrible that your kids are going to get toothaches because you don't give them fluoride. You're a bad parent. Oh, God dang it. I've got a couple things. Okay, but here's the problem. So I'm just going to give you the brief on this. What they found is that fluoride tends to lead to calcification of the pineal gland. And, you know, depending on what, you know, religion you are, what culture you're from, some people believe that the pineal gland is like the mind's eye or the third eye. It's another area of perception of the world around you or whatever. And apparently fluoride makes it calcify, so then it's no good. Well, I had to pick out one example of why, you know, our children may be, why our children, you know, things that our children are doing. Unrecognizable, it says, boy burned over 76% of his body after dangerous TikTok challenge. So this challenge was to use a lighter and hairspray as a blowtorch. So somehow, you know, our kids are not smart enough to know that you probably shouldn't copy people on TikTok who are playing with fire. Like, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You can blow yourself up. I mean, 76% of your body is burned. You are not in good shape. I bet they have him in a drug-induced coma so he doesn't have to so he doesn't have to suffer. Anyway, so I have here a way to neutralize the effects of fluoride. So this I was happy to see. I mean, I don't know why we didn't have this going on for the past 50 years. Fluoride's neurotoxicity has been the subject of academic debate for decades and now a matter of increasingly impassioned controversy among the general public as well. From conspiracy theories about it being first used in drinking water in Russian and Nazi concentration camps to chemically lobotomize captives to its now well-known IQ-lowering properties, to its ability to enhance the calcification of the pineal gland. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. A compelling study published in the Pharmacognosy magazine titled Curcumin Attenuates Neurotoxicity Induced by Fluoride, an In Vivo Evidence. So they did a study, probably used some rats, gave them curcumin, and it blocked the effects of the neurotoxic ability of fluoride and probably blocked the calcification of the pineal gland. And there you have it. Another natural remedy for a poison that we've forced on that we've forced on people over the past, I don't know, 5, 10, 10 to 100 decades. I mean, 10 to 100 years. Yeah, it hasn't been good. I'm almost running out of time. Let's close this up. Hey, thank you for listening. Thanks for making the show more successful every week. I really appreciate it. Remember, Hal Anthony does Behind the Woodshed, 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, 2 hours solid information. And you can catch the Ravenwood Homestead Show on Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks a lot, you guys, for joining me. Thank you for listening to the Discerning Observer podcast. Thank you.